Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you've been with us in the last week and a half, you know that we have been in a series on spiritual warfare that has been absolutely powerful. And I got to tell you that given my impatience and maybe slightly violent nature, I'm thrilled that we turned a corner here just recently and we're talking about weapons of attack. I was all for Derek talking about defensive weapons, but weapons of attack now is the theme today and has been for a day or so, and I'm thrilled because I want to go on the assault against the kingdom of darkness. I'm really thankful for that. Listen, there's a free resource for you that we'll be talking about as the show continues, and also, later on in the show, we've got a special guest who's got some keen insights about worship and praise, and specifically Derek's attitude towards it when he was ministering, so you'll want to stick around for that. Well, listen, this is going to be great today. I'm very excited about this. Be sure and have something to write some notes on. If you've missed any of our series, of course, you can go on DerekPrince.org and pick up all the shows that we've had so far. But listen now carefully and make sure you take notes and maybe have your Bible open, because today Derek's going to be talking about weapons of attack, the weapon of prayer, and the weapon of praise. Let's listen.
Now, in order that we may assail and cast down Satan's strongholds, God has provided us with appropriate spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. They're not physical. They're not material. They're not bombs or bullets or tanks or warplanes." But he goes on to say they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Whose fortresses? Of course, Satan's fortresses. In other words, God has provided us with spiritual weapons. On the basis of much study and also personal experience, I believe that Scripture reveals four main weapons of attack, spiritual weapons of attack. They are prayer, praise, preaching, and testimony. I'll just repeat that. Prayer, praise, preaching, and testimony. Of course, I have to qualify this by saying that prayer is much more than a weapon. There are many different aspects to prayer. But in one aspect, prayer is a weapon of spiritual warfare. I believe it's the most powerful of all the weapons that God has committed to us. In Ephesians chapter 6, after Paul has listed the six items of defensive armor, he then continues in Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." I believe at that point he moves from the defensive to the offensive. I believe it's no accident that that comes immediately after the list of defensive armor. I believe he's there mentioning the greatest of all weapons of attack, the weapon of prayer. I tend to think of prayer as an intercontinental ballistic missile. You know what that is? I don't understand it fully myself, but it's a kind of missile that's launched by a rocket from one continent, and it can be directed by electronics, by radar, to a target in a completely different continent. And it can land on that target out of the air and simply smash it to pieces. You see, there's no limitation to prayer. There's no limitation of time. There's no limitation of distance. Prayer is like that intercontinental ballistic missile. With it, we can assail Satan's strongholds anywhere, his strongholds in the heavenlies included. Now let's look at an example of the prayer of attack from the book of Acts. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. This relates a situation in which the church had come under persecution by King Herod. James, one of the leaders, had been already executed by Herod. Now Peter had been arrested and was scheduled for execution shortly. This is the situation. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. He wouldn't do it during the Passover because that would have been considered desecrating a holy period in the Jewish calendar. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Notice that phrase, but the church was earnestly praying. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. I want you to picture the scene. This is the maximum security jail. It's the inner prison. And Herod is so determined that no one shall rescue Peter that he actually has four squads of four soldiers each watching him night and day, 4 hours at a time. I think it's implied that one soldier was chained either to Peter's hands or to Peter's feet. So he was absolutely under the maximum security. In the natural, any kind of rescue was totally impossible. But it says the church was earnestly praying. I have to comment this. A crisis adjusts our priorities. I don't know how earnest the church had been in prayer, maybe for some time. Then suddenly James was snatched from them. Now they saw the danger of Peter, their natural leader, being taken. I think that was motivation for earnest prayer. They were not only praying in the daytime, but the record indicates they were praying at night. It's important to notice that there are times when merely praying in the day will not be enough. Jesus said in Luke 18 that God would avenge his own elect who cried unto him day and night. There's a kind of intensity in prayer that is sometimes needed to release God's intervention. Now let's see how God answered the prayer of the church. An angel came to deliver Peter. This is the description. Chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked through the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." So that's how God answered the prayers of the church, by a supernatural intervention through an angel. However, the deliverance was only the first part of the result of that prayer. The second part was a judgment by an angel on the persecuting king Herod. We need to see this. The closing verses of Acts 12 say this. After Herod had had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now they joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." In other words, they flattered Herod by calling him a god. Now notice the result. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. This pictures the irresistible progress of God's word, and especially of the promise that Jesus had given to Peter that he was to be an old man before he died. But you see, it took prayer to enforce the promises of God's word. This is what I want you to understand. The promises of God's word are not a substitute for our prayer. They provoke our prayer. And it takes our prayer to make the promises of God's word effective in our experience. It takes our prayer also to release the intervention of angels on our behalf. The scripture says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth for our benefit, but they don't come as a rule until we pray through, and by our prayer we release that intervention of angels, which is God's answer. So bear in mind that prayer breaks through Satan's kingdom in the heavenlies and releases divine angelic intervention.
One of the beauties of Derek's teaching is the way he gives it in outline form. So we don't ever want to forget that the primary weapons that we have are prayer, praise, preaching, and testimony. Let's remember that. Prayer, praise, preaching, and testimony. There's more of this great teaching to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
There's only one thing worse than having a deadly enemy. Having one and not knowing it. Now, in a new book from the writings of Derek Prince, you'll find one of the most comprehensive explorations of Satan's strategies and tactics you will ever read. In Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes and discover the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks and walking in victory. This brand new book from Derek Prince will help you uncover Satan's strategic plan to destroy your life. In Lucifer Exposed, you'll find how to disarm the devil now, so you can experience success in every area. To order your copy of Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Stop his plan. Order Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Derek Prince is teaching us about the weapons of attack, specifically focusing on the weapon of prayer and the weapon of praise. And in this next segment, we're going to hear some things about praise and worship as a form of attack on the kingdom of darkness that we all need. Let's listen.
In the Bible, praise is frequently related to God's awesomeness or fearfulness. Praise calls forth God's supernatural intervention, and it's also the appropriate response to that intervention. Here's an example from the book of Exodus, the song of Moses, the song that Moses and Israel sang after their deliverance from Egypt and after Pharaoh's army had been destroyed by the waters of the Red Sea. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Note the phrase awesome in praises. Praise reveals and calls forth God's awesomeness, his fearfulness, especially against the enemies of God's people. Notice that praise is the appropriate response by God's people to his awesomeness, to his fearful acts of war and vengeance on their behalf. This is more fully developed in Psalm 8, verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. We see here that God has provided strength for his people against their enemies. Two words are used for the enemies. First of all, adversaries in the plural. I believe that means Satan's kingdom, generally, the principalities and powers, the rulers and authorities that are spoken of in Ephesians 6:12. But then the psalmist also speaks about the enemy, singular. I believe that's Satan himself. The enemy, singular, Satan, the adversaries, the representatives of Satan's kingdom, generally. God has provided his people strength to deal with this entire kingdom. The nature of the strength that God has provided is more fully revealed in the New Testament, in Matthew 21, verses 15 and 16. This records an incident in the ministry of Jesus when he was in the temple performing miracles and the little children were running to and fro crying, Hosanna, and the religious leaders asked Jesus to silence the children. Here we have the reply of Jesus. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes, have you never read, Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself? Jesus answered them by quoting that verse in Psalm 8, 2. But he changed the quotation just a little. He gave us, as it were, his own comment. The psalmist said, Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established strength. Jesus said, "Thou hast prepared praise." So that reveals what the strength of God's people is. It's praise. Praise is our great source of strength. The result of the use of praise as a weapon is to silence Satan. This lines up with what we read in Revelation 12:10, a vision that's yet to be fulfilled, but tells us a great deal about Satan's activity at this time. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." This tells us what Satan's primary activity is, his main weapon against us. It's accusation. He's accusing us continually before God day and night. It occurs to me that if Satan is busy day and night, we cannot afford to be busy only in the daytime. We've got to meet him day and night. Why does Satan accuse us? What's his purpose? The answer is he wants to make us guilty, because that's his main weapon against us, is guilt. He achieves it by accusation. Well, then you might say, well, why doesn't God silence Satan? The answer is simple. Because God has given us the means to silence Satan, and he's not going to do it for us. What is that means? It's praise out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Praise that ascends through the heavenlies, reaches the throne of God, and silences Satan's accusation against us. Isn't that good news? That there's a way we can silence Satan. Now I'm going to look at another passage in Revelation. Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. This too is prophetic. And I'm not going to attempt to explain how it'll be worked out in history, but I want to point out an important principle. John says, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, like frogs. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty." The point I want to make is that unclean spirits, Satan's forces, also operate through mouths. Praise that silences Satan comes out of the mouths of God's people, but satanic spiritual forces are released through the mouths of those who are on Satan's side, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet came unclean spirits. In a certain sense, this indicates that the side which uses its mouth most effectively will win this spiritual war. If we do not learn to use our mouths, we cannot win the war. Also, the unclean spirits are compared to frogs. This is fascinating. I'd like to spend time on it, but time doesn't permit. But it's interesting that frogs only make a noise at night, and their noise is a ceaseless, repetitive croaking, which goes on all through the hours of darkness. I believe that's a very vivid picture of something we are familiar with in contemporary civilization, propaganda. Propaganda is often a satanic instrument to promote false ideologies, false political purposes, false and evil rulers. And one of the great ways that we have to deal with these forces is by praise that comes out of the mouth of God's people. Now I want to give you in closing another example of the power of praise from the book of Psalms, Psalm 149, verses 6 through 9. "May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints." Here it speaks of something that all God's saints can do through praise. But it's praise accompanied with a two-edged sword. The two-edged sword is God's word. In other words, God's word and praise must go together. Combined with God's word, praise becomes an instrument of judgment on kings and nations. The kings and nobles they're referred to, I believe, are Satan's angelic princes and kings of the unseen world. To us, as God's believing people, is committed authority to administer on them the sentence written. In other words, we administer on them God's revealed judgments. And this privilege is granted to all God's saints.
I love the way Derek describes what happens in a worship service when we begin to worship the Lord. Boy, let's cling to that. And there's more great stuff to come, including a special guest as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The supernatural is real.
but how Hollywood portrays it isn't. In his classic booklet, Expelling Demons, Derek Prince illuminates the dark side of the supernatural with the truth. Line by line, Derek reveals what the Bible says about how demons operate today and your authority over them. Now you can draw on Derek's extensive research and discover that as a Christian, you need not fear demons. In fact, it's your job to drive them out. For your free copy of Expelling Demons by Derek Prince, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Expelling Demons is a thought-provoking booklet that tackles this controversial subject, as only Derek Prince can. Call now to order your free copy, 800-448-3261, or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We've been talking today about worship and praise as a weapon against the power of the enemy. And with me today in the studio is Dick Leggett. Now, Dick is not only the president of Derek Prince Ministries, but he has the unique honor of having actually led worship with Derek Prince and for Derek Prince meetings. Dick, great to have you with me today.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to talk with you again.
Now, tell me about this unique history you have with Derek as a worship leader.
I try to keep it a very well-kept secret that I'm a musician.
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, it was a great privilege. Derek seemed to like me leading worship when he would minister. And one of the things that he liked about it was the fact that he knew the importance of people being prepared in worship to receive the word. But it's very important for us to realize that praise and worship is actually a weapon. There are many scriptures that we could refer to. 2 Chronicles 20, you know, the famous time when Jehoshaphat was surrounded. Who did he send out first? The praisers. They went out as the first battalion to basically address the enemy. And it says that when they went out and praised the Lord and gave him honor, that the Lord set ambushes. So he slaughtered the enemy as a result of those praises. That's kind of heavy, isn't it?
Now, Dick, you're giving us a sermon, and that's great, but I want to back up a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, sorry,
What years were you leading worship for Derek?
That would have been from about 1974 through about 1984.
Okay, I've got an image coming to my mind. There's a leisure suit. Maybe some puka shells?
No, but...
Some great big sideburns? Come on, work with me now.
Definitely the sideburns. And Derek had them, too.
Yeah,
long sideburns.
That.
But there's a picture that when I signed on as president of Derek Prince Ministries, one of the staff members there had dug up a photo of Derek and I sitting together at the 1977 conference on charismatic renewal. Derek was about to speak to about 10,000 people. He was sitting in a chair, very relaxed. I was sitting there beside him with a guitar, and I looked totally scared because I was about to lead worship for 10,000 people. So I was petrified.
Dick, great having you with us. Thanks for bringing that little tidbit of your own experience from Derek's life.
Thanks, Stephen. It's always a privilege.
Good stuff. Listen, for those of you listening to us, you can find the teachings that we're talking about, free resources, all kinds of information on the website at derekprince.org. Our time is up. It's great having you with us. For Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, for me, Stephen Mansfield, and for everybody at Derek Prince Ministries, we love you. We're glad you're here. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can get a free copy of Derek's booklet, Expelling Demons, when you call. It's our gift to you for spending time with us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And, of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.